Annalie Howling. Welcome to How I Got Through It. I'm so excited that you're here again.
You too. Thank you so much for having me back. I've been really looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. And today we're just going to answer some questions. I think everyone loved the first episode with you, and I wanted to have you back on. And so many people have relationship questions that I have here, and also just some other interesting questions as well.
Let's do it. Let's flow.
Okay, awesome. So the first one is, what is the best advice you've heard or received lately?
Ooh.
I know.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was in Ibiza a couple of weeks ago with my team and a big influencer, and I'd arranged this trip for all these girls. It all come independently, obviously different stories, and they're connecting for the first time.
Yeah.
And we were having a big conversation about lots of different things at that table and sort of maybe like some of the things we're going to do here and share. And the girls was like, you know, but I've been with my partner for a long time, or I've invested in this job for ages, or what if this doesn't happen? Like, what if they don't commit to me? Or what if this job doesn't work out? Or there's a lot of like what ifs, right? So there's so many things that could go wrong and things that we just simply can't control. And I'd read something recently, and it was that you cannot factor in what may happen. The only thing you can sort of factor for is that you'll be okay no matter what. That's the best piece of advice. And it really, really got me thinking about that. It's like, okay, let's talk about romantic relationship. You could be dating, and it could be we're risking our hearts in a certain way, but actually you're always going to be okay no matter what. There's no risk. My life is fantastic and full, which it is, and that we don't self-abandon and all that kind of good stuff. Really looking after ourselves and maintaining our own life and relationships and things are important to us, and you'd be hurt, but you'll be okay, and you know it. And the same with a job or pursuing a new passion or trying something for the first time. If it doesn't work out, you're still going to be okay. Like, you can always find your way back to yourself. So that's a really great piece of advice that I had found recently. I'm pretty sure it was Matthew Hussey, looking at some of his work that, which I really enjoy a lot of his work, fellow Brit. And yeah, he was extolling that you just simply cannot control or think for another. And his would be in romantic relationship that he was talking about. But I was sort of looking at that across section into just trying something new or following a passion or something you've always wanted to do, moving to a new place and starting, in theory, starting again, taking risks, that sort of stuff. And as long as you know yourself and you know that you're always going to be okay, it may hurt and it may be upsetting, but you don't need to fear the actions of another.
How do you know, like personally for yourself, how do you know you're going to be okay? Is it something you tell yourself constantly? Like, if I was dating someone and I was nervous about, oh, I don't know if this is going to work out, if I risk moving a city for them, or if my job is going to work out, and I'm in that part of uncertainty, like I'm constantly thinking about it day to day, every single day, like, how do I know? Do you start telling yourself that you're going to be okay? What do you do?
I think that's such a good question, because that can kind of fall into two camps. So I actually had somebody comment on an Instagram post of mine today. It's an older post, but it was around like having the courage to go for it, like five reasons to just go for it. And you could read about anything, like a challenge or something. And she said, all of these apply to me getting back with my ex. And, you know, as in like having the courage to go for it and do that. I'm like, you're nodding. And like, I'm like, wow, you know, that's one thing, thinking, oh, I'll sign up for a 5K, or I'll start a new job, or I'm moving new country. But this is like, here are the reasons to go for it. And she's like, what would you do? And I said, and it's the same. And you ask me, and this is what I would do, is I would really in that moment check in with myself. So it's not necessarily giving myself like a pep talk, like you've got this, but I'd be like, am I in this moment my best self? So like, if I'm going to make a decision or a choice or an action, am I as like happy as I could be? Have I spent time nurturing all the things that make me? And there's lots of things that make up the person that I am, you know, so have I been honoring all the parts of me that are really important? Like, if I'm feeling crappy, have I been out to exercise or socialize with a friend or been in touch with my friends, or, you know, and I can make a choice from that space. And the other thing that I've learned is when I'm not, it's just to park it and forget about it. And that might just be overnight, but that is just not the place to make a decision, especially something like that. So I wrote in my response that what I would do in this situation is work on myself. And then your benchmark is so high because you'll know the right choice from that point. So that's where I've got, I would say, better at understanding myself is that, am I truly at my best right now? Is this the right choice for me in my best interest, if my best interests are me at my 10? Or am I maybe scratching around making a choice because I'm insecure? So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You're also making that decision from a place of your best self as opposed to a place of your scared self, I think. Totally. I hear you saying. That's really, really, that's really, really good advice. I was curious. That's why I asked you that question. The next question is, what has shocked you the most recently?
Ooh, I mean, it's a bit of a heavy one, but I think I can't avoid it and I don't want to avoid it, but it would be the devastation that's happening in the Middle East at the moment. And I'll be really honest, something that shocked me the most was probably a level of my own ignorance. I reached out to a number of my friends who are affected in various different ways to check in on them and their families and just say, ask how they were and try and offer some love and some support. And I don't think I'd quite realize the level of maybe my own either miseducation, non-education, potentially some ignorance there. And the thing that I work in most days is trauma, you know, and I look often at epigenetic trauma. So I look at people who are still suffering from atrocities that have happened to generations before them. Mm-hmm. And then to see this happening now in this way, it's really important with trauma work that you can give people hope, that you can come through it and it can reframe how you feel about yourself. And when you witness something like this on that mass level of that extreme, of that wickedness, I think that that has been quite shocking to me. Yeah. So there's a few parts of that, but I don't want to step over that or miss it, because there's been some inquiry that I've needed to make of myself, inquiry as to where I can be the most help and the most use. And probably with me, that's after, because I'm better in the aftermath with the trauma work that I do in the support, which is very much something I plan to focus on. But I think there was a little bit of me that perhaps a touch naive, and I was shocked at some of the wickedness.
Yeah, me too, actually. I think I was shocked at how, first of all, the responses of everyone that I was seeing, but not in a judgmental way, but just like not an empathetic response, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I really felt it when I saw these images and videos for women, right? And I just couldn't, the first 2 days, I actually just couldn't bear it in general. Just that, I think, shocked me. But it just felt like, for every step of agency that I have in my life, also a woman on the other side of the world is having her agency taken away from her, or her choices taken away from her, or her body is not hers in that sense. And I just really felt like I vividly saw that in the images and the videos.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like it's going to be hard for us to not get deep in this conversation. We're two deep people.
I think it's authentic and it's real. And I think these are important conversations.
Yeah. It's also the buffet of feelings that we're feeling in the times that we're in. We're like feeling all everything. This one's good. Do you have a funny moment or story to share? I could really use a good laugh.
Oh, probably loads, but I've got to see whatever's not going to get me cancelled, because I'm quite unhinged in my personal life. So let me, there was something that I mentioned last week. So I went for a very cool, I've got to be careful what I say, I had to sign lots of NDAs, but I think I'm okay to say who it was. I went for a very, very cool meeting with Spotify recently.
Okay.
And their London offices. And as you would imagine, like I walked in and it's like super cool. And, you know, there's vending machines of like funky Apple products, all this stuff, right? It's really cool. Anyway, I'm going into this meeting room and I go in this meeting with this person, and there's cameras everywhere on the desk. And then there's this huge mirror. And she says, oh, by the way, there's a two-way mirror and there are people sat behind that mirrored screen. And I was like, wow, you know, this is quite intense. So there's like live cameras, there's the TV going to like New York or whatever. And then there's people sat behind this two-way mirror.
Yeah.
At the meeting, really amazing, like really, really cool. Come away from there. And I met some friends for drinks afterwards, very close to where that was. And I remembered that one of my first jobs, this is hilarious. So I was 16 at the time And in the UK, the legal drinking age is 18. Okay. So alcohol and going out and that. And when I was studying at college, and our college is different age groups, at 16 to 18 is college studies in the UK, and university is like college, is how it works through. I had a part-time job for the police doing lineups. and they were paying us cash to do lineups. And I'd totally forgotten this, but the two-way mirror was the only other time I've ever seen one. Because if you've ever done a lineup, which I did for a job when I was studying, you had to line up. There'd be like a girl who committed a crime who was 5'7" and had dark brown hair or whatever. And you'd be like, oh yeah, brilliant. That's great. Because it'll pay me whatever money I need for my Saturday night out or something.
Yeah.
And you would have to line up. And I remember doing that quite a lot. And it was very, very well paid. And the funniest part of that was that we would get paid cash and then we'd go drinking. And the bar was right next to the police station. Of course, we're underage drinking. So that was like, but I had totally, totally forgotten about that. Like, I don't think I'd ever thought about it again since I did that. And having been in Spotify's offices and then it completely reminded me of being 16 and doing cash in hand lineups for the police.
Oh my God, that's so funny that it jogged your memory. That's hilarious. It's like really funny what the things that trigger our memory, right?
I don't think I'd been in a room or a situation where there was a two-way mirror.
Especially for a meeting. Like, it's not something that you expect. So it's
no,
like,
I had no forewarning of that. So that was, yeah. I mean, it's not the kind of thing you're like, oh, it's a coffee machine, there's some water, there's a two-way mirror and people sat behind it. You're like, right, okay. Yeah.
Interesting. No. And you're like wondering what they're talking about behind the mirror.
Obviously, like all you can think about is who's there and what they're wearing.
Yeah, that's really funny. The next one, this is a dating one. How do I get back into dating when I'm not excited about it?
Ooh, so there's a couple of lines of inquiry there. And is the not being excited self-protection / self-sabotage? So is there a part of you, and by the way, hands up, I've done it, I retired a few times. Like more than once I pulled myself out of the dating pool. And actually it's interesting, it's linked to what you were talking about earlier that another therapist mentioned to you about being a receiver. And I'm quite energetic and spooky and you know, into sort of energies. And it is true, as a woman, or you know, in different sexual practices as well, if you take on the role of receiving, that is something that is actually could be quite intimidating. I identify as a straight woman, so I'm dating men, and typically they're going to be bigger than me, you know, and other things. And so if I'm thinking about dating, and I'm a very sexually orientated person, so to me that's a hugely important part of any relationship for me, like massively important, that has to be top draw. So I'm thinking about that, and I am very selective. I won't let anyone near my body I'm not willing to share. And to your point, it's the being safe enough in the receiving to have pleasure, because that's the part of, for me, the sexual experience and the journey. So quite often I've checked out of it. So to this person's question, I've given myself the excuse of, no, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be at home and just only sort of be with myself and all these kind of things. And that's not for me, and apps are not for me, and this is not for me. And some of that was maybe true for a period of time if I was doing some healing, but some of that was definitely me not putting myself out there because I didn't want to be rejected or hurt. So the first line of inquiry for this person is, are you genuinely not excited about dating, or are you scared? Like, let's get clear. And then is it that the lines of inquiry that you've maybe tried before, whether it's apps or blind date with a friend, and maybe if that hasn't been something that has been positive for you. I think, to be honest, when I went back into the dating pool and dating scene, I decided to employ the sales strategy that I did when I was about 22 in my job.
Tell us the sales strategy.
We all need it. The way I approached it was, I just went into it sort of thinking, okay, do you know what? I need to throw myself back out there, because I was probably doing what this person is. I was holding myself back. I was self-protecting. And I was denying. I had a story that went with it, and it was true, but there was also truth. And it was similar to not being excited. There's no one out there. I'm not meeting anybody. Every man that I met, and I meet a lot of men in real life, in my job, working in sports, things like that. Every single one, no matter how well they disguised it, was married. every single one. I've got some tremendous stories about that. So
me too. I hate them all.
Right. And I've got a little fan theory about that. This is a little segue. I will come back to the question. My theory about that is that men that are married or are in long-term relationship are happy to approach you because it doesn't matter if you reject them, because they've got their they've got the safety net. So it doesn't matter. They're not really, they could say, being rejected because they've already got relationship. So I was not meeting men that were available at all. So anyway, going back onto apps and things, the sales strategy that I had when I was like in my 20s at work, they gave to you. They were like, right, this is back in the day. So like you make 30 calls a week, that sets you sort of 10 meetings. And then from that, you get 2 inquiries. It's like, right, I'm just going to have to deal with this, get over myself, stop the story, and just spend sort of 30 minutes a day to lead 10 potential inquiries to lead to, you know, a number of dates and a potential connection. So I would say sometimes it ain't sexy, and sometimes the story is not like, I don't know. I had some incredible encounters and serendipitous chance meetings, and they were all absolute douchebags, and they were all married. So, you know, like you could, I think we sometimes have to get over the fact that the fairy tale maybe of the, how it might start is potentially not what we've been told or sold, and it's okay to build up to something. And the other thing would be also just, I wasn't necessarily approaching when I was doing that for finding massive long-term relationship or connection. I was doing that because I needed to get out of my own way, and it was a challenge to myself. And I could feel that like a muscle, I'd allowed that to really like atrophy. Mm-hmm. And I'd got scared, and I'd started telling myself a story that, oh, you know, well, it must just be about work for me right now. But I was denying myself, and I wasn't really showing up there. So
yeah,
do it to establish connection, do it to practice naming your needs on a day, do it to data gather. Like my girlfriends and I will talk about this, date for data gathering. What do you like? What don't you like? This person that's not excited,
yeah,
go on this as a system purely to find out more about yourself. And in that process, I would sense there'll be some more excitement, right? I do enjoy this app, or I don't enjoy that as a first date, or actually, that was really brilliant, I'd love to do that again. Like data gather with no expectation. And one more thing I want to offer, because this is my tremendous friend, Amy Chan, who I would have thrown this all out the window if it wasn't for her. She's great. And she says, on the first few dates, the only 2 things you should think about are, am I having fun? And would I like to see this person again? Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Because we go into a story, oh, well, they live too far away. Or, oh, I've got a kid. Or, oh, they've been lived abroad, whatever it might be. Like you start looking at circumstances, and you start again a bit like they're not being excited. You can start finding all these reasons why, or you could get overly excited and project a bit too much into the future story, whereas it keeps you really present. Am I having fun?
Yeah.
Yes or no? Would I like to see them again? Yes or no? And only after a good few dates, and if that changes, do something about it.
Yeah, I think that sales strategy that you have is a really, really good point. I have a friend actually that Svetlana, she's now in Paris, and she was like ready to settle down, to start that part of her life. And she did exactly what you did. She would go on, I think it was like 3 dates a week, right? And have a little bit of a conversation with these guys before she went on the actual date to make sure they were like worth the time of a date, but like go. And like she did that for weeks on end. And she actually, I think she's married now to this guy that she met through a dating app, Chris, and they're both living in Paris now. She was just like, you just gotta go through the numbers in a sense. I have a personal question for you. Like as an A-type woman, mm-hmm. like I'm accustomed to making all the parts of my life work, like career-wise, purchasing a home, even quite active in my friend circle, like actively making adult friends. I'm in a new city and I kind of have all that down, and I'm accustomed to going after what I want. And then there's a part in dating where it's like for women or men, anybody, where you have to also, I think, let the universe meet you halfway. It has to be somewhat serendipitous in a sense. And you also really want the right thing to come to you. You don't want the wrong situation to come to you. And I have a issue. I think it's a thin line, right? I think you can only push this cart so far, and then you have to also let the universe or God or whatever else you believe in meet you halfway there, because there's love involved. It's not like some kind of system, or like your career is a little more logistical. This is different. This is a different part of your life. There's emotions. There's a lot of gray areas. There's nuances. So that's why I actively hope like the universe will bring something to me. I don't want to push something and make something happen like I do in the other parts of my life, I guess, because I don't want the wrong thing to come to me. What do you say to somebody like that?
So I completely agree with you. And I'm very into sort of energy. And when I did my little online experiment, to be honest, it was purely to put out the intention and the energy. So I thought, well, I need to sort of nudge the universe along here, you know, and what can I do to that? Because I've been doing all the things and I've been getting sent the same lesson. Yeah. So I kept getting sent the same lesson from seemingly from serendipity. And I was like, right, well, then I'm just going to allow, because it turns out sitting in my house alone with my cat, and again, as a type A woman, owning my home, having my nice life, great friends, everything else, and going out and socializing, it turns out that wasn't bringing the right opportunity. I thought, okay, well, maybe I'm not being clear. Let's be universally aligned, energetically aligned. Mm-hmm. And I will put out I'm just going to put out the intention, the energy of dating, and that might might nudge it along. And honestly, I was expecting the universe to still bring someone in at the supermarket or whatever. And I think that does happen. I think it's like, you know, when you start doing a certain workout, or when you have a baby, you see everyone's pregnant all of a sudden. I think it's that kind of thing that you're just putting out the energy of. So for me, it was very much, there was a formulaic approach, but at the time that I was doing it, I was doing it to nudge along the energy in that space, because I'm maybe saying I want something, but I didn't feel like I was putting the action behind it. So with manifestation, that's great having an intention, but you do need to put actions. Like if you want an amazing body, sure, put it on your vision board, but you also do need to be eating well and going to do some workout or movement suits you. So, and more will come in, as you know, then you'll find beautiful things or invitations or whatever. So yeah, I completely agree. I think it's okay to sort of start it on the track and then allow the universe to nudge it along.
So I hear you saying that even if you want the universe to bring this thing to you, you have to meet it halfway, and that you meeting it halfway is your intention and your actions, right?
Yeah, completely, completely. Because I think, I mean, I had, I'll tell you a story and protect the guilty a little bit here, but I was on holiday with my daughter in earlier in the year, and this guy was there, and there was a lot of chemistry, and he was on his own, and it's a very, very nice resort. And, you know, I'm there with my daughter on my own, single mom, and there's a lot of eye contact and all of this. And then sort of he comes up and talks to me and swap numbers. Would I like to go on a date? And we're back. That would be lovely. Books an amazing restaurant in London, like all of this. He's waiting outside the evening of our date, has got the best table, all of this. I'm like, this is great. Sit down at the table. I need to tell you something. And I was like, oh no.
Oh God. I'm shocked. He said he was married?
And I was like, what? So, and he went, you can leave if you want. And I said, I know I can, but I like the food here and you're going to explain yourself. So actually, it was a fairly interesting conversation. I would never have seen him again. It was a really bizarre, I was more like in trauma land at that point, asking him questions about what the hell. And do you know what? He was saying things like, oh, I am married, but we're estranged, but I'm waiting on someone to save me. He was saying that. He was like, I'm not happy. I need to meet someone first before I can leave. And it was so unattractive and just so weird. And that was kind of, you know, and I thought, all right, universe, this is bizarre. And, you know, like if anything was meant to be serendipitous, for some reason, you're pushing me to experience things in a different way. And clearly me saying I'm out there and I'm putting my vibration out there, I'm obviously not. I'm clearly holding back in some areas. I had a bit of a story about maybe being online or being available or something like that. So get over myself and, you know, try getting out there in a bit of a different way. And then sure enough, the universe nudges you along exactly as you say. But that was purely putting an intention and an energy out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever dated a married man? And I also hesitate saying the word dated. I used to always tell my friends, there's no such thing as dating a married man because you're not really dating him. He's already like in a relationship with somebody else.
Yeah. You know? Actually, that's a very, very important point. So the answer is yes. A lot of the time, like I say, they hide it really, really, really well. And then you get into it and you're like, oh, you're actually not that separated. Or you're actually, I had one man that lied to me about having children. He said that him and his wife had very sadly suffered through rounds and rounds of failed pregnancies. And on the third date, when he was acting really strange, he said, I really must tell you something. It's literally the third date, and says, when I said we couldn't have children, I've actually got two and I really like them. Those were his words about his children. And I remember the thing that I thought was the strangest was, I said, but I'm a mother. It's not like I haven't got kids myself. It was so weird. Like, you know, I'm not going to, like, I would have found that it was the weirdest thing. And at the end of the dinner, he said, oh yeah, I won't do that again. Like, all right.
I hope not.
I imagine he has. Like, sorry, girls, I imagine he has. But you make a really, really good point. And this is something for people to remember. And this is not me throwing any shade or judgment. And I've been this girl at times, just desperately hoping that they'll choose you and whatever else. And you think you believe their story, because why wouldn't you? And they're so convincing. But the reality is, if you are the other woman, you are making up the percentage that they're lacking in their marriage. So you're enabling them to stay. Mm. So let's say they haven't got passion, excitement. You know, the number one reason people list for affairs, like as the brand, it's aliveness, the feeling of being alive. So they're in a long-term relationship or a marriage and maybe young children, or things have got a bit stale or stable or whatever. And they have gone outside of their marriage, met another person, and you are fulfilling all of the things they don't have. However, a bit like married men being the ones that will crack on to you and ask you out and things like that, they still have the safety and the sanctuary of family holidays, Christmases, not splitting up their money, all these sorts of things. So be very, very careful, because I know it does happen, and this is not me judging at all. This is absolutely no judgment. But if somebody's in this and they're wondering how long to hang on for and they're hurting, just be really sure that you're not enabling them to stay, because you're filling the part that they don't have in the marriage. And so in theory, you're giving them 100%. So where's their motivation to leave? Because to leave, they'd be in pain. Mm-hmm. Yes, they'd be in pain without you, but how much? Mm-hmm. You know, is that maybe, again, horrible to say it, but is that maybe replaceable somewhere else? Mm-hmm. But at the moment, they're in kind of no pain. They get everything fulfilled.
Everything, yeah.
And the other thing to say is, and again, this is a very hard truth, but if they can lie in bed next to their significant other and lie to them, what on earth makes you think they're not lying to you? It's a hard truth to take. And like I say, no judgment, but it's one we have to ask the question of.
Yeah. But it's really interesting, because it's like kind of funny what you would put up with. Like, married guys always have a very strong desire, because they really do actually want to be with you, you know, like, and like they want to be with you, however that plays out. But they're in pursuit of you. And I think that was the thing I took away from that, is being desired in that way.
There is nothing wrong with that. And like, again, if we look at why these things happen in relationship, and like lack of desire, like I cannot have a life without desire in it. And I know that. And I know that from some of these experiences, from work on myself, from coming out of my marriage, like everything you're talking about, I see in me. And desire is something that I cannot live without in relationship. And that's different to, you know, pleasure and sexuality and sensuality. It sits alongside all of those things, and it's a part of it. Mm-hmm. But I need to feel desire in relationship, in my life as well. And equally, I want to desire a partner as well. That's something that is, it's just the most beautiful sensation. And I think when it's lacking in long-term relationship, it's difficult to get back. And there's lots of very valid reasons, but it's an incredible feeling. And obviously it's a high. And then I was younger and naive, and again, wanting to believe certain stories. And, you know, when that guy at the restaurant said it, the second he said it, I was like, oh my God. But that to me as well, I had a little high five to myself about the growth and he was very, very successful. And, you know, it could have been a nice little, I don't know, situation should I have been that way inclined. But, and it's great chemistry and everything else. And I was just like, oh my God, like, you're all right. This is just, no, I'm not. Because here's the other thing. It's like a discount. You're accepting 50% off. So you're like, I'm not a buy one, get one free. We have that in the UK. It's buy one, get one free. No, I'm not a 50% off kind of a woman. Like, I'm a high value woman. Like, I do not accept substandard. Like, I don't settle. Like, I am not having 50% off from you. But the way it's dressed up, and like you say at that time, like, but he's sneaking out to see me. He wants me so much. He's making that call on the family holiday from the top of the yacht. He's doing like, he's doing these things, like all this stuff's happening. And you think, oh, I can't believe he's doing all this. And of course, you get the sob story about how hard it is for him. And they do, I think it is true that the desire is such, and chemistry, and you're meeting this person where they are in that time. I think there's a lot of things that can be true all at once in those moments. But yeah, I do not accept 50% off in any situations. That is growth. So in that particular dinner, I had like a little high five myself, like, I'm just going to find out this dude's story. And as it went on, it was just, like I say, you know, this guy that is still expecting a woman to come and save him. And I said to him, I said, what kind of woman do you think would accept this? I was like, what kind of woman? Because I've probably been her years ago. I said, but she's, I said, you're going to get, this is not going to be good for you either. You're going to attract, if you're telling me you want to be saved by love and you still believe you can have a big love in your life, the way you're going about this, you are going to be taken advantage of as well. I said, honestly, what kind of woman do you think would accept this?
Yeah.
And he's nodding along and like, yeah, yeah. And I was almost thinking I could get a new client out of this.
Did he know what you do?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So interesting that he would bring this entire scenario to you.
I know. But I think genuinely he did think that potentially someone could save him. And I think, as we all know, like, we're all here to save ourselves.
Nobody's coming to save you, sir. I think this episode is going to be called Dating a Married Man is Like Buy One, Get One Free. But not to discourage anyone from dating. It is the wild, wild west out there. But also, there are some good finds.
Genuinely, no judgment. I've had some incredible moments of discovery because possibly there was more safety in that dynamic, given that it wasn't able to be a relationship, that there wasn't a possibility of it developing into something. I ask a lot of people this question, but when you think back to some of the, as a video that I've done on YouTube about toxic, why sex is better with toxic sex than maybe a secure partner when you first meet them, and it can seem maybe a bit boring or safe at first because you've got to, you're cultivating desire sometimes and like nurturing the erotic and the unknown is instantly there if it's an affair, because there's parts of person you can't get. You're always in the erotic because you just simply don't get the I don't know, watching Netflix on the sofa. It's always this, like, you know, like erotic desire-led kind of in fight or flight, like it's, you know, it's eliciting stress responses in all the fun ways and the hormones are going. So yeah, like, no judgment. And if there can be a time of exploration, but for anyone that's at the risk of being hurt, I would say you're not 50% off. There's no buy one, get one free. And if they can lie next to their significant other and lie to their face, then what makes you think they're not doing it to you? It's just what I would
say. Yes. Yeah. Great, great advice. Next question. And the last question is, I currently work a corporate job and I want to start my own business as a creator. I know that you have a thriving business. What advice can you give to me as a woman in my 30s?
Okay. So first thing I'd say is, what makes you think I have a thriving business as a creator? And you're probably going to agree with this. firstly, thank you. I'm not trying to be facetious on purpose, but I just want to say that my job is still doing sort of one-to-one work, either, you know, coaching and therapy and trauma therapy. That is still the main business that I have. And that's not to discourage anybody, but just sort of also don't, I've got a big platform and I'm growing my platforms, but it doesn't mean that it makes you, you know, mega wealthy. It doesn't. You can do certain things, you have certain choices and certain options, and you get great connections. So just, I want to say, don't be discouraged, but maybe just know that it takes a while to build something, but absolutely start, like, and be really authentic is the thing that I would say. Don't be sucked into, and it's too easy to get into the algo and, oh, well, this, they seem to like this post at this time. You'll do it again and you'll kind of try and replicate something and it will go flat. Mm-hmm. And the only way to kind of work with or beat the algorithm and build up sort of content creation is being really, really authentic, because then that's when you allow people to find your voice and you kind of generate sort of loyalty in that space, because you're speaking your truth and it's resonating to people because they're in the same space. Like us having this like incredibly candid conversation here. Yeah. Some people, oh my God, no, 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 I'm out.
Can't talk about this.
Totally fine. Come back to me in a few books. Like, you know, like, no, but it's totally socially fine. Like, I'm not for everybody. But I would say that in itself is the beauty. So in content creation and leaving a corporate job, like the fact that you're leaving corporate as well because you want to do this and you've got the passion, you're being courageous, like, bravo, like, absolutely, please do this. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. But you've done this big leap. You're leaving that cage. You're leaving a trap. So don't be trapped by being inauthentic. Don't get trapped by the algorithm. Don't get trapped by numbers or what seems to be successful. Like, a post could not get many likes, but you'll probably know this, like, the analytics behind it showing how many people have saved it or interacting with it in a different way. You're still making an impact. Right. So be really, really congruent and centered and authentic in your voice, and just be really, really true, and your people will find you, and it creates the most amazing community when you do. And yeah, I think build from there and just be open to being humbled by it as well. It's like, yeah, a humble experience. I've just started on YouTube, and I was warned by a few friends. They're like, yeah, it's not the same as Insta, and nothing will come over from Instagram. And I was like, oh, okay. And they meant it. They really meant it. It's going to be a really slow, different build. But I'm actually now really enjoying the process of building there. Mm-hmm. So and if you love something, if you believe in it, then you don't mind putting the graft in. You don't mind putting the hours in, even if hardly anyone seemingly is seeing it. Mm-hmm. When I first started, I would say, and I still do, if one person hears or sees or reads one thing that I've done and it helps them or someone that they love, I've done a good job. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way to think about it, I would say. So the person is doing this, bravo, we are behind you. Let us know how you get on, please. Yes. Tell us, we're here for you. And yeah, don't, because you're doing this hugely courageous, amazing thing, please don't feel that you need to conform in any way other than being authentic.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. And the one other thing I might add in there is no one can beat you at being you. So really go in all in on you and what you, and work on yourself and figure out what you also bring to the table. And I think for me also, I love the woman that I'm becoming through this process, right? Like, mm-hmm. through the conversations that I'm having. I also recently just got on YouTube, and we have an app that kind of tracks all the analytics. If at least one person listens to an episode, I'm like, all right, cool. I've done what I've come here to do, and or one comment or whatever. And it ends up being more than that as the weeks go on. But in the beginning, those were the things that really, like, I was like, all right, one person listened to it. Great. Just move on to the next one. And also the other thing is you through this process, and I'm sure it is for you, like, the friends that you make and the experiences that you have are just so much more meaningful to me as well. It's all a part of, it's not just creating and putting something out, but it's like all of these things behind the scenes and the conversations that I get to have with you and like WhatsApp and all of that stuff. Like, I enjoy all of it, right? It's not just about like how many people are liking and viewing and commenting and blah, 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 but it's all of the things that's involved. I really, really enjoy.
No, totally. I think that's a really beautiful point that you've made. And yeah, like, I've got friends. I've always had friends in most places, but I've got friends all over the world now. You know, that's made me so rich from this mm-hmm. process. That's the riches, that's the wealth I've got from like content creating is the connections that I've made and the community that I'm a part of mm-hmm. and what I'm able to maybe put out into the world as well. But yeah, the riches and the wealth of this industry for me is what becomes possible in the connections that you can make. Yeah. And again, that can only be from you being you. And you've just got this opportunity to rewrite the script. You're leaving corporate. Like, write it for yourself and be really proud of that. And like, you know, we're saying, like, you're going to be on a journey. One person may look at it, doesn't matter. Like, but be really proud of yourself for staying in your lane. And I think we'll never look back.
Yeah. Great stopping point. I loved all of these. All the questions were so good and interesting and different. There were two questions weren't the same. You know what I mean? I also love listening to you, like, love listening to your advice and your perspective. We grew up on completely different places, but also we are more alike than we are different as well. Like, there's always an interesting dynamic when I get to talk to you and hear your experiences and your advice. This was so much fun. I was actually really looking forward just to catch up with you and hear everything that's going on and see you also.
Oh, I've loved it. I've loved it. Thank you. We should do more. We should do more Sunday. For me, it's Sunday night.
Sunday advice. Like, we'll just field questions from people. Just take a pulse of what's going on.
I would absolutely love it. Yeah, it's been awesome.
I'm going to stop recording now.